Last week we looked at 10 lepers that were healed of their leprosy, and only one of them took time to come back and say thank you. And we're reminded that Jesus' thoughts on that when he said in Luke chapter 17, verse 17, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And how true that is today, that so many fail to be thankful and fail to get involved in doing God's work, doing the things that God's called us to do. We need to be more and more involved. Matter of fact, I think about that a lot of times. According to statistics, it's like 10% of the professing Christians actually give 90% of the support, not only financially but physically, in the church, and then the 90% give about 10%. So a reminder of how unthankful we are. We realize that we are living in an unthankful society today, where people are just not thankful. They don't seem to be see a need to be thankful. Seems like people just expect the benefits of life, but with no need of giving thanks. It's actually the Bible, what the Bible tells us is going to happen in the last days, and in case nobody's told you, we are there in the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the first 7 verses tell us some of the things that are going to happen in the last days, and if you listen to that, you'll recognize that we are experiencing all those things in this day and age today. It says that, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, selfish, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Anybody seen any of that lately? Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Do we not see that really just kind of exploded through the LGBTQ push that's going on? No natural affection there. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, no self-control. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what the Bible tells us over in 2 Timothy is going to happen in the last days. Are we not experiencing all those things now? So we are in the last days. So we know that we're living in the last days, and certainly people are just not thankful, not thoughtful. That's a pretty good picture of where we are today that we just read in 2 Timothy. This morning I want to look with you for a few minutes at a man who was genuinely thankful for the gift of salvation. Are you thankful for the gift of salvation? Are you thankful for what God's done for you, forgiving you and saving you and giving you hope beyond this life? If you have accepted Christ as your Savior and Lord, you ought to be thankful for that, genuinely thankful for that. This particular man that we're going to look at, was He was a sinner. Matter of fact, he professed to be the chiefest of sinners, the worst of the worst. He hated Christians and was doing all he could to arrest them and put them in prison. Cheering those along who were persecuting them. He was actually there when Stephen was stoned to death, and the witnesses laid their clothes at this young man's feet, the Bible says. He was agreeing with that torture as a stoned Stephen, a godly man. As they stoned him to death, this man was there cheering them on and encouraging the abuse and the killing of Stephen. This man's name was Saul. And so we're looking in Acts, going to be looking at Acts chapter 9, where he's persecuting Christians when things change for him. Picking up in chapter 9, begin verse 1, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, and this way are the Christians, those are the ones that are being referred to here, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So Saul was actually looking for more Christians that he could arrest and put in prison, persecute them. That was what he was doing, was persecuting Christians. He was an evil man. Many times I've talked to people and they feel that they've just done so much evil that they don't believe God can forgive them. You know, I've had people say, you know, one man in particular that was fought in the war, and he talked about having to kill people in the war, and he just didn't believe that God could forgive him because, you know, one of the commandments is thou shalt not kill. And he really struggled with that. He said, I just don't believe that the Lord can forgive me. Well, here we see a man named Saul who was doing all kind of things to persecute and cause problems for Christians. He was there when Stephen was killed, stoned to death. He was promoting that, so he was guilty of murder even in Stephen's death because he was a part of that. He was cheering them on. And so when someone tells you that they don't think they can be forgiven because of some terrible sin they've done, they need to understand that the sin that will cause them to go to hell is rejecting Jesus Christ, not accepting him, not believing and accepting him to be their Savior, denying him. That's what will get you separated from him for eternity. But any sin that we've committed is forgivable if we'll simply repent of it and ask him. He will forgive us and he'll cleanse us. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, remember what it says? That he is faithful and just to forgive us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it don't say certain sins. He says if we confess our sins, whatever they are, if we confess them, he will forgive us and he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here, Saul was a man, as he professed himself, the chiefest of sinners, the worst of sinners he was. But as he was going about persecuting Christians, and he's already looking for some more now. But verse 3 says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. So we see here that as he was still persecuting Christians, he saw the light. Who is the light? Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light of the world. And so, you know, before we meet Jesus, we're walking in darkness. We're walking in darkness, and we need to meet the light. We need to be introduced to the light. And so, Jesus being the light of the world is the one that appeared to Saul there on the road to Damascus. I remember singing an old song we sang for years. It's entitled, I Saw the Light. You know, the words are, I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness. No more in night. Before we're saved, we're walking in darkness. And Jesus is that light that we need to see. And we need to understand that Jesus is the light. And then when we accept Him as the light, then the Bible says that we need to let our light shine. We need to let that light of Jesus Christ that lives in us shine about wherever we go and whatever we do. We need to let the light of Jesus Christ shine in our lives. So I'm thankful, so thankful for the day when I saw that light. When I finally stopped rejecting Jesus Christ and decided to accept His gift of salvation. And accept Him, Jesus Christ. When I heard Him call my name, and Saul heard that same thing. He heard Jesus call His name on that day when he saw the light. There in the next few verses, when he saw that light that shined around about him, a light from heaven. Verse 4 says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Jesus called his name. Jesus called my name one day. Jesus called your name one day. And I trust that you've accepted that and obeyed his calling. He knows your name. You know, Jesus knows your name. Not only does He know your name, He knows everything about you. Every intricate detail about you. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. You know, the world knows a whole lot about you now. You walk into a store in New York today. You walk in there and they ask, what's your phone number? You tell them your phone number and they can tell you about anything they want to know about you. They know. They don't know as much as Jesus knows. They don't know as much as God knows. See, God knows everything. He knows your thoughts. He knows your intentions. He knows every hair on your head. Every hair on your head is numbered. Now, the way I understand that is, you know, Matthew 10, verse 10, Jesus said, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. To me, that means that every hair up there has a number. And He knows when hair number 30,326 falls out. Jesus knows that. He knows that. That's what He said, isn't it? That the very hairs of your head are numbered. And if they're numbered, He knows what each number is. And He knows when each one falls out. He knows everything about you. And in that scripture where He's talking about that, He's talking about how much He cares for us. And how He takes care of the birds of the air and the flowers and all that. But He cares about us so much that He knows our name. And so on the road to Damascus, as Saul was headed to arrest more Christians, Jesus called his name. Saul, Saul, why do you keep persecuting me? Why do you just keep on? Why don't you stop that? You know, why don't you let me help you? And when Jesus called his name and he said, who art thou, Lord? Who's calling my name? He knew somebody's calling his name. Who is it? I'm thankful for that day when he called my name. How about you? Are you glad that he knows your name? Are you glad that he knows what your needs are? Are you glad more so that he is able to meet your need? He's able to forgive you. of your sin. He's able to help you. He's able to heal you when you're sick. He's able to protect you when you're in danger. You know, you're never alone. He's always there. He's always there to take care of you. Aren't you thankful for that? We ought to be. We ought to live our lives in such a way that people around us know. Not only does God know, of course God knows, because He knows our every thought. He knows what we're thinking. He knows not only what we're doing. He knows that we're here in church today, but He knows exactly what the motive is and why we're here. You know, if we're here really to worship Him or if we're here for some other reason, God knows the reasons. God knows all that. He knows our intentions, our thoughts, the thoughts of our hearts. And so when He called Saul's name, Saul first asked him, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And Saul said, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's what we need to say. Lord, just tell me what you want me to do. I recognize you. I recognize you as my Savior. I recognize you as the one who gave your life, who paid my sin debt. Now, tell me what you want me to do for you to help, to win the world, to lead other folks to Christ and see their lives changed. So at that point, Saul had a life-changing experience. Actually, it was a life-giving experience because before that, he was dead in his trespass and sin. But now he's alive. He's born again. And so Jesus gave him life. And he was obedient to Jesus Christ. Verses 7 through 9, we see that he was obedient to what Jesus told him to do. Jesus told him to arise and go into a city, and it'll be told what you must do. And the men that journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth. Then he had to be led because he was blind. They carried him on in to Damascus. And so he did what he was asked to do. He surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He surrendered to God's will and decided to do God's will, not his own. That one of the things that that we read about in the last days is that men are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Too many times we want to do what we want to do, not what God wants us to do. Saul was ready to do what God wanted him to do. He'd been doing what he wanted to do long enough. Now he was ready to do what God wanted him to do. And so Jesus told him to go and he would into Damascus where he would receive further instructions. And so we know that here is another reminder as well that God won't force himself on us. He's not going to force himself on you. If you don't want to surrender to him, he's not going to force himself. He's made every availability for everyone to receive his gift of salvation. He's made every provision for every one of us to spend eternity in heaven. For not one person to spend eternity in hell. Jesus has made the provision when he died on the cross, when he paid our sin debt. And so, the one thing that a lot of these present day preachers will tell you today is, you know, that God loves us all and we're all going to heaven one day. He's not going to send anybody to hell. And that's two thirds true. God does love us all. He loves every one of us. And he is definitely not going to send anybody to hell. He's made every provision for us to escape hell. But the third part of that, we don't, you know, we're all not going to heaven. The Bible says we're not. You know, they're more going to hell than they are going to heaven, because the wide road that leads to destruction. So Jesus has made the provision, but he's not going to force himself on us. He don't force himself on us. He is standing with arms open wide, inviting us to accept him, to allow him to help us, to take care of us, to protect us, to provide for us, and to do all those things. He's not going to force himself. We've got to be willing to accept him. We've got to be willing to follow him. And so we see as Saul is carried then to Damascus, that Jesus sent somebody else to talk to him and to lay hands on him. This man's name was Ananias. Ananias obviously had some faith in God, because Jesus spoke to him. God spoke to him in a dream and told him to go, and he would find a man there named Saul of Tarsus, to go to the street called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth and hath seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Can you imagine being in Ananias' position? Ananias knew who Saul of Tarsus was. Ananias was not new to the area. He had heard about Saul of Tarsus. You know, it's kind of like us and some people that we may be threatened by or whatever. But God said to Ananias to go and to confront this man named Saul of Tarsus. And, of course, Ananias was... He was human, and he had one of those human moments like we have, like I've had a lot of times, reminding God, you know. He said, you do know who Saul of Tarsus is, don't you? You know, he's the one that's persecuting Christians. I'm a Christian, you know, and you want me to go and lay hands on him? He's laying hands on everybody he can get his hands on. But he was obedient to do it. And he went in and he did what he was told to do. He obeyed God's call. He went in, laid hands on Ananias, and Saul's eyes were opened. He was saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and baptized. We find that in verses 17 through 19 there. He would never be the same. No longer was he interested in persecuting Christians. Now, he was interested in encouraging people to become Christians. That's what we need to do when we accept Christ as our Savior and allow him to become Lord of our lives. We recognize the change that we have experienced. We recognize what we have received in the forgiveness of sin and the promise and the hope of eternal life, not only to spend with him in heaven when we leave this world, but while we're here. Jesus said, I've come so you can have life and have it more abundantly here and now. And so we know that, you know, we've received now this peace that passes all understanding, and life is different. We've never experienced this before like we do once we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And when we've accepted him as our Savior and we realize what we have received, then we should want everybody else to experience that also. I remember when I was first saved, I was very, very, very bashful. Very bashful. Backward bashful. I wouldn't speak to you on the street if we were good friends, if anybody else was around. I wasn't going to do it. I was too bashful. But when I got saved, I, as bashful as I was, and I still didn't open up and talk to people, but I wrote me some notes on paper and put them on my pack, you know, and on my chest at school. And I, are you saved? Jesus loves you, you know. I want everybody else to know. I hadn't opened up quite enough to talk to them yet. But I wanted my friends to be saved. And not only my friends, I want everybody there to be saved. I want them to experience what I had experienced. Because it's the greatest thing that anyone will ever experience. No one will ever experience anything greater than forgiveness and salvation. And so, when we realize that, then we want to start telling somebody else what's happened to us. We begin to live a life of thanksgiving, a life of doing things that honor God, that really show him that we are in fact thankful. I do thank you, God, for what you've done for me. And I'm going to do everything I can to show you that I really appreciate the forgiveness. I really appreciate the fact that I know that you're going to watch over me and you're going to care for me. You're going to take care of all my needs. Because all that, those promises that we receive, and if we really believe that, then how can we not be thankful for that? You know, as much as he has promised us, and not only has he promised us what he has promised us, he will in fact do. Okay? So he's promised us if we'll put him first, he'll take care of all our material needs. He does exactly that. If you put him first, he will take care of you. And so here we see that Saul believed that, and he immediately started telling others about Jesus Christ. In verse number 20, it says, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." He immediately began to tell others about this great gift of salvation that he had received. He immediately began to tell others about this Savior who was willing to die to pay for his sins and for their sins. And we, if we believe that, we need to be telling other people as well that Jesus loves them. He loves them enough that he's paid for their sin. And all they have to do is believe and accept it, repent of their sins, and invite him to have control of their lives. He wants to save. He wants to deliver us from sin. And he wants to give us life, eternal life, never-ending life. That's what he wants to give us. If we will just simply surrender to his lordship. So Saul began to share the good news, the gospel, wherever he went, because he was thankful for what Jesus had done for him. How about you? Are you thankful for what he's done for you? Have you accepted that gift of salvation? Do you know that you know that you know that right now, where you're seated, if you died, that you would wake up in the presence of Jesus Christ? Or would you wake up separated from him in a place of torment, a place called hell? Nobody wants to go there. Nobody. But a whole lot of people are really making preparations to spend their eternity there. And I trust that none of you are in that number, that you're all ready when he calls to go to be with him for eternity in heaven. So let's tell everybody else. Let's tell others. Let's live out that song that we sang earlier. I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story. What Jesus did for me and what he's done for others. And let's tell the story so that others will also receive that gift of salvation, forgiveness, eternal life. Father, God, we love you and we thank you today for loving us, for blessing. God, I do thank you that you love us enough that you're willing to give your only begotten Son. He loved us enough that he was willing to die, suffered much, and died to pay my sin debt and the sin debt of every person that's ever been born. God, I pray that you help me to take every opportunity to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with all those that I come in contact with, or never missing the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with someone else. Thank you so much for the way you bless. Thank you for the way you protect us, the way you provide for us every day of our lives. And Father, I pray if there's one person here today who has never really surrendered to your Lordship, never come to the place of realizing that they are, in fact, a sinner and they do need forgiveness, as we all are. We're all sinners. We all need forgiveness. And for that person who's never come to that place of recognizing that and just calling out to you and say, God, I realize I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. Would you forgive me? Would you come live in my heart? Take control of my life and help me to live for you from this day forward. God, I love you and thank you for it. Lord, work right now as only you can. Holy Spirit, speak to hearts. If there's a need here today, I pray that Holy Spirit deal with that person. Draw them to yourself. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to save you, there'll never be a better time than today, because this could be the last opportunity. Would you just slip out where you are and come forward? Allow me to pray with you. You don't need to confess anything to me. I'll be glad to pray with you. I'll be glad to share Scripture with you. I'll help you any way I can. I just can't make the choice for you. It's your choice. Anyone? Maybe you're here and God's leading you to come join the church, be a member of this church. Just come on. Anyone, whatever the Lord's dealing with your heart, don't wait. I will give you just a minute to respond.